Dear brethren, in my last sharing, I mentioned as we go through this period of COVID-19 pandemic, we may ask ourselves and reflect over several questions, including, should we be satisfied if we manage not to be fearful, anxious, worried, learn to keep ourselves occupied, keep ourselves healthy, and survive this pandemic? Many in the world may feel this way. They would be satisfied if they are able to go through this whole period without being fearful, anxious, in spite of many terrible things that are taking place, and in spite of various restrictions, they are still able to keep themselves occupied. And they do not fall ill, they are able to keep themselves healthy. If they can go through this period in this way, they would already be satisfied. Some Christians would also be satisfied if this were the case with them. But it should not be this way for believers. We should not be satisfied just to be able to keep ourselves from being anxious and worried, keep ourselves occupied doing all kinds of things. But it should be a time where we look to the Lord and we are able to learn and to go through well and to grow well even during this period. Does COVID-19 pandemic threaten personal spiritual health, well-being, and their working of church life? Some Christians may feel this way, especially when they find that they're not able to gather together with other believers, not able to come together for worship, for fellowship, and so many things are going around them that disturbs them. However, it should not be this way. The COVID-19 pandemic should not have any detrimental effect on our spiritual health and our well-being, as well as our working of church life, because whatever the circumstances, if we are walking with the Lord, we should be able to fare well at a personal level and also in our working of church life. That it should be feasible for us to meaningfully trust God to sovereignly undertake and enable us to go through this period well. What is vital, essential for spiritual health, well-being, and a life truly pleasing to God at the personal level and for the congregation? My sharing during this period is meant to help answer these questions. It is important that we maintain a biblical perspective to understand the biblical revelation on what is essential and vital for spiritual health and well-being and a life truly pleasing to God, to understand, to absorb the biblical truths, and then live our lives accordingly. I wish now to add on a few more related questions for us to ponder over. How should we face COVID-19 pandemic now? And how can we be ready to face whatever the Lord may see fit for us to go through in the future? How can we be better equipped to go through well the current pandemic and what lies ahead? What I've been sharing with you during this period can help us see what ought to be the answers to these questions and how to respond well on the basis of what God has revealed in the scriptures. This is important. we need to be clear on the biblical revelation, not just assurances from men or the opinions of men or the encouragement, exhortations of men, if it is not properly grounded in the scriptures, so that we can form deep convictions and then live our lives accordingly. To be equipped to face whatever may lie ahead of us, and also how to go through this pandemic, is important. It is feasible to have an abiding sense of true well-being and security. God does not want us to live in fear, worry, and anxiety. At the same time, the Lord also warns us against having a false sense of well-being and security. Having a good, wholesome understanding of these issues has become more urgent and significant as we go through the COVID-19 pandemic and as we approach the nearness of the second coming of Christ. What I continue to share with you can help us know how we should face the pandemic and also how to be ready to face whatever the Lord may see fit for us to go through in the future. What is shared is relevant for our own lives, and also the truth can help us understand and discern what is going on from the perspective of God's kingdom, and how to be concerned for others, and how to pray meaningfully for others. I now want to reflect together with you a vital area which the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul highlighted. Pure in heart. We must pay attention to this area if we want to fare well in life, serve the Lord well, and live a life truly pleasing to God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to grant us understanding, spiritual insight, a biblical revelation teaching on this important area of life, so that we'll be able to live our lives in the way you desire of us, to respond deeply to you and what you require of us. We commit this time into your hands and pray that you be pleased to speak to us as we seek to understand the biblical teaching on this subject. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, which is God." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience, and a sincere faith." The Apostle Paul tells us the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart. So Paul's preaching, teaching, his epistles, his ministry, he tells us there's a direction, there's a goal, objective, and the heart of it is love from a pure heart, that those he ministered to may have love from a pure heart. So we can see the importance of having love from a pure heart. The Lord Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That is, the pure in heart, they will enjoy God's blessings. Together with God's blessings means God's approval, God is pleased. And this purity of heart, the state of heart is pure, is important for meaningful appreciation of God and relationship with God. For they shall see God. See God is not with our physical eyes, but the Lord Jesus is talking about spiritual insight. A true knowledge of God, who he is, in the context of meaningful relationship, fellowship with God, and worship of God. So being pure in heart is extremely important for true spiritual insight and our knowledge and relationship with God. Believers generally do recognize the importance of being pure in heart, but many have vague notions of what it means, how they are faring in this area, and also how we can attain the purity of heart and what are the implications of being pure in heart. This sharing is meant to motivate us to pay attention to this crucial area of truth, to help us understand what it means, and also to move decisively in that direction. To motivate us, to pay attention, to help us to understand, and also to move us in that direction. As I go on, we will see biblical revelation tells us the heart of a person defines the person, not his wealth, status, accomplishments in life, in society, not his physical attributes, his talents, his capabilities, his skills. The world tends to look at these things in a person. Christians can also be influenced to think in this way. But we need to be clear, the outward conduct, words and accomplishments of a person do not define his character. The quality and meaning of the heart of a man reveal the real character, the true character of the man, his inner life. The heart is the source and the realm of his spiritual, moral, mental and emotional activities, from which flows his thoughts, words, deeds, and service. The moral and spiritual meaning flows forth from the heart of a person and determines the moral and spiritual meaning of his words and conduct. And the moral and spiritual quality and meaning in a person's heart defines the person, the moral and spiritual health and stature of the person. So we should not just look at the outward conduct, accomplishments, the words of a person, but we should seek to understand what is flowing forth from the heart, the moral and spiritual meaning that flows forth from the heart of a person, because that will determine the moral and spiritual meaning of his words and conduct. And this is what God looks at, what God looks for in a person. This is also what we should all the time be concerned about in ourselves, and what we look for, what we look at in a person. That's what God is concerned about when he looks at us, our lives. And that is what we should also be concerned about in relation to our lives. The moral spiritual meaning in our heart, and the moral spiritual meaning of the words that flow forth from our lips and the things that we do. Likewise, what we should be looking for and how we should look at a person. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 7, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "I will send you to Jesse, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons." Verse 3, "You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." Verse 6. When they entered, he, that is Samuel, looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The context here, the Lord instructed Samuel to anoint the one whom he would designate to Samuel to be king over Israel. And when Samuel looked at Eliab, he thought that he is the one whom the Lord wanted him to anoint as king over Israel. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance. Man tends, we judge, to conclude on the basis of outward appearance of things, including the outward appearance of man. Even the godly Samuel faltered in this area, and God told him, do not do that. Do not look at his appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. We should also learn to discern what is in the heart of a person, because the true meaning, quality, and character of a man is in his heart, and that is what counts. To understand the meaning of being pure in heart and how to attain it, it is helpful to understand the biblical revelation of the meaning of heart. From the scriptures, we can see that the heart is the source of the negative moral meaning of our thoughts, deeds, words, and character. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. The words of the Lord Jesus. From within, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. From within, out of the heart of men, there's a source, proceed the evil thoughts. So whether it's evil or not, it has to do with what is in the heart and what proceeds from the heart. The meaning of the heart proceeds. From there proceeds the evil thoughts. Then the meaning of the deeds, the evil deeds, the negative deeds, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness. And also the meaning, the moral meaning, the words, slander, negative words, the negative moral meaning proceeds from the heart. Likewise, character, pride, foolishness, envy, envious, deceitful, these things proceed from within the heart. So the heart is the source of the negative moral meaning of our thoughts, deeds, words, and character. The heart is also the source of the positive meaning in a person's life and his ministry of life. From within the heart flows the springs of life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life flow forth from our heart. That is why we need to watch over our heart with all diligence, so that the heart is pure and it can continually, from it can continually flow forth ministry that is positive, the springs of life that will have a positive impact on the lives of others. The heart is capable of reasoning. Mark chapter 2 verse 6, the scribes reasoning in their hearts. The heart is also capable of thoughts and intentions. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The heart is where a man's purpose is formed. When he makes his decisions, he exercises his will. It is the core center of man as a moral being. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, in the context of giving, Paul wrote, each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart. So, Paul says true giving begins in the heart, and what you purpose in the heart, that's where the purpose is formed. And then after that, you do just as you purpose in your heart. So meaningful giving, you purpose in your heart, and then you give. And Paul went on to say, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this how the giving becomes meaningful. What is taking place in your heart? You give cheerfully, genuinely from your heart. And the Lord loves giving that's from a cheerful heart. You give because you love. You genuinely want to give. Not to impress people, or just do because it is expected of you, or everybody is doing it, so you do it. The meaning of why you give is important. In Esther chapter 7 verse 10, it's recorded for us, Esther set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. So it is in the heart that Ezra decided, he set his heart to study the law and then to practice it and then to teach the statutes and ordinances of the Lord in Israel. So that's where the purpose is formed, the decision is made, and then the doing that follows. Ezra said it's hard to study, and then to practice, and then teach the law of the Lord Israel. The heart is also where we believe and exercise faith. Romans chapter 10 verse 10. With the heart, a person believes. With the mouth, he confesses. So true faith must begin in the heart. The heart believes. And when the heart believes, then you confess, that is something positive. It has meaning. But if the mouth confesses without the heart first believing, there is no value in it. Likewise, true worship must flow forth from the heart. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 to 7. He said to them, that is, the Lord Jesus spoke to them, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. The Lord Jesus said, he told them, you hypocrites. Why? Because he says, these people honors me with their lips. They're honoring God, but only with their lips. But their heart is far away from me. So they are not truly honoring God, even though their lips, they are professing to honor the Lord, worshipping the Lord. But the Lord says, in vain do they worship me. When your heart is far away from God, your heart is not in the right place, it's not worship from the heart, then it's hypocritical. It is just honoring God from the lips. That doesn't count. In vain do they worship me. And together with that, teaching as doctrines, the precepts of men. Not truly teaching biblical revelation, but the opinions and the thoughts of men. So the words of our lips cannot express true worship if they do not flow forth from our hearts. Likewise, true love for God and men must flow forth from our hearts. The Lord Jesus tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. How do we love God? With all our heart. It must proceed from our heart. True love for God must proceed from the heart. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. Love for God, love for man, if it's genuine, it must proceed from the heart. God speaks and God works in our hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter preaching, those who heard were pierced to the heart. As Peter preached, and Peter was filled with the Spirit, and as he preached, God spoke to the hearts of the hearers and worked in their hearts, and they were pierced to the heart by Peter's message. Acts chapter 15, verse 9, Peter describing how God worked in the hearts of the Gentiles, cleansing their hearts by faith. The true state of our heart is crucial in our relationship with God. This is what the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So our heart, the condition of our heart is very important, whether we can have proper confidence before God. And when our hearts are right, it doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Verse 22 of 1 John chapter 3. When our hearts are right before God, there's effectiveness in prayer. What we ask, we receive from the Lord. And together with that, there is the keeping of God's commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. They all go together. When the heart is right, we do what is pleasing to God, and our prayer life is meaningful and effective, because we have a good relationship with God. The true state of our heart is crucial in our relationship with God. The scriptures also tells us the heart can rejoice and can experience true joy. This is not superficial joy, but true joy. The Lord Jesus told His disciples they will see Him again and their heart will rejoice. John chapter 16, verse 22. The Lord Jesus was going to the cross. He will depart from them physically. But He told them, I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from you. So when the Lord rose again from the dead and they saw Him, they truly rejoiced. There was true joy in their hearts. Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers out of much anguish of heart. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 4, he wrote, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. So as Paul wrote, he was writing out of much affliction and anguish of heart. He didn't say those words, write those words lightly. It flowed forth from his heart. Anguish of heart. In an important verse, the Apostle Peter tells us the true worth and meaning in a person is the hidden person of the heart. The moral and spiritual state of the person. What God looks for and appreciates in a person. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Peter wrote, your adornment must not be merely external. Braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. The person, the real person, is the hidden person of the heart. What is in the heart and the quality, the condition of the heart is the true person. And in the heart, what God is looking for are precious qualities, including the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is precious in the heart of God. The qualities in the heart of man, they are precious to God. The emphasis in the teaching of the Lord Jesus and the scriptures is the reality in the heart and what proceeds from the heart. There's emphasis in the teaching of Lord Jesus. It's also the emphasis in the teaching of the scriptures. What is the reality of the heart and what proceeds from the heart? Not just merely external activities, but what proceeds from pure, clean heart and good motives. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 to 23. As usual, I will not read every word. Verse 1, the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him, that is the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, they had seen some of his disciples were eating their bread with impure hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the traditions of the elders. So they were preoccupied with washing hands, external, whether the hands were washed or not. Impure hands, that is, hands, they were not clean, they were not washed. But that is, impure hands, not necessarily that the hands of the disciples are very dirty, but not washed according to the traditional way they go about it. Carefully washing their hands. Verse 3, observing the traditions of the elders. They were not doing that. Likewise, verse 4, talks about washing of cups, pitcher, copper pots, and so on. There were various things that they did according to expectations based on tradition. And the scribes and Pharisees asked him, that is, asked the Lord Jesus in verse 5, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with impure hands? And he, the Lord Jesus, said to them, this is the reply of the Lord Jesus. Verses 6 and 7, which we already read just now, the Lord Jesus quoted from Isaiah. He says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites. As it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines, the precepts of men. The Lord Jesus, quoting Isaiah, applied it to the scribes and Pharisees that they were hypocrites. Why? Because they were concentrating on the externals, whether it be washing of pots and pans and washing of hands, and that's what they place a lot of importance, including honoring God, but it's with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. And the Lord Jesus says that's hypocritical, and in vain they worship God, because it's only with their lips, and not from the heart. And together with that, they were teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. They were emphasizing observation of tradition of men, but not observing, teaching what God once communicated and taught to the people. The truths in the scriptures, which emphasizes the meaning in the heart. And what flows forth from the heart, true worship of God, true purity, purity of heart. Verse 13, invalidating the word of God by your tradition. You do many things such as that. Verse 14. That's where the Lord Jesus goes on to emphasize true purity and what God is looking for. And what is it that determines whether what a person is doing and saying is really pleasing to God and the moral meaning of what a person is doing? Verse 14. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, now the Lord Jesus is addressing not just the scribes and Pharisees, but to the multitude, listen to me, all of you, and understand. These words tell us the Lord Jesus has important things to tell them, and he wants them to understand. Verse 15, there is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. What counts is what is proceeding from the heart of man. Verse 16, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. again emphasizing the importance to pay attention, to hear, to understand, to absorb what he has to say. And verse 17 tells us, after leaving the crowd, entering the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable, what he had told the crowd. Verse 18, and he said to them, that is the Lord Jesus, to the disciples, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? It is not external acts, because it does not go into his heart. What you eat, the physical things that you eat, does not defile you, because that does not affect your heart. Verse 20. That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. What proceeds out of man? From where? Verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts. So that is what determines whether what you are doing and saying is evil. The meaning comes from within the heart. Out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts. And from there on, the evil in the heart proceeds into fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness. What you do is evil because it proceeds from a heart harboring what is evil. The intentions formed within the heart that proceeds into evil deeds. As well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Slander, the negative things that we say. They are evil, they are negative, because it proceeds from what is wrong within the heart. Likewise, being deceitful, envious, pride, foolishness, the character of a person, all this has to do with what is in the heart of man. And then the evil things that proceeds from within the heart. Verse 23, all these evil things proceed from within the heart. So this passage tells us true cleansing. The scribes and Pharisees were talking about cleansing and about impure hands, washing of hands. The Lord Jesus says true cleansing is a matter of the heart. It's not merely external acts, but it is what is taking place within the heart of man. Not external things like washing hands, washing pots and pans and so on, and how you do it. But true cleansing, which is important, is a matter of the heart, pure in the heart. Likewise, true worship must flow forth from the heart, not merely external. The profession of lips. And this is something important for us to bear in mind at a personal level, and also brethren gathering for worshiping, for prayer meeting. What is in the heart and what flows from the heart is what counts. What God is looking for is their true worship. And meaningful prayer flows forth from the meaning in the heart. This passage also tells us the moral spiritual meaning of man resides in the heart. The meaning of his words and the conduct flows forth from the meaning in his heart. What God is concerned about is the moral and spiritual meaning in our hearts. What resides in the heart and what flows forth from it. God looks at our heart. He looks at our motives. Proverbs chapter 17 verse 3 tells us, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. You refine silver, you refine gold with the refining pot, with a furnace. But to purify our hearts is not by physical means. The Lord tests the hearts. God is concerned about what is within the heart, the moral and spiritual meaning in our hearts. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2 tells us, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. We may think we are clean, but it may not be so, because the Lord weighs the motives. So if the motives are pure, then we are clean, pure in heart. But if the motives are wrong, then the outward conduct cannot be right in the eyes of God. And the true meaning of what we say and do will not be right if the motives are wrong. In the concluding segment of my sharing for today, I will summarize and crystallize the meaning of pure in heart. Pure literally means clean. The pure in heart is a person having a heart washed, cleansed, and consecrated to God. Spiritually, the heart washed, cleansed, and the heart consecrated to God. There are two major aspects. One is the state of the heart has been washed, cleansed, it is clean, there is no stain or defilement. The stain here has to do with moral, spiritual stain and defilement. The second major aspect is the direction of the heart. What we focus on, what we immerse our heart in, our intent, our purpose, our will, what motivates us, what we are committed to. The positive dimension of purity of heart. God is perfect and absolutely pure, and the one who enables us to be pure in heart. And so, the pure in heart will focus on and immerse his heart in God and God's righteousness, love, light, and truth. And he will set his heart on God's kingdom, God's will, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. So the longing of our hearts has to do with the advancement of God's kingdom and God's will being done. And the one who is pure in heart focuses and immerses his heart in God and aligns his heart with the heart of God, the God who is perfect and absolutely pure. And so his heart longs for the advancement of God's kingdom and God's will being done. His heart is committed to God, God's will, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. These are the primary things in the heart of God. The reign of God, the advancement of God's kingdom, the will of God being done, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And then the manifestations. When the heart is pure, there will be manifestations. You don't start with the outward first. The inward reality must come first. And when there's purity of heart, there will be manifestations. So be manifested in what our mind dwells on. And also in word and deed. That is what we say and what we do. When the heart is pure, then from such a heart will flow forth love, light, and truth. The Lord Jesus says to the disciples, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. How can we be the light of the world? There must be the purity of heart, the heart in the right condition. And then the life and the light will flow forth. The love, the light, and the truth will flow forth. The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth, and that is why his life will constantly manifest light, grace, truth. Love, light, and truth will flow forth from a pure heart. Remember the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, we saw just now, that the goal of his instruction is love from a pure heart. Together with love, yes, also light and truth. Love, light, and truth from a pure heart. It will flow forth from a pure heart. The foundational basis of a life of spiritual health, growth, witness, fruitfulness, and effectiveness in participation in the fulfillment of God's purposes is the pure heart. It's the foundational basis. From there, then, there can be spiritual health. Together with that, also spiritual growth. And then to be an effective witness, it all must flow forth from a pure heart, from which will flow forth the love, light, and truth. And together with that, there will be fruitfulness. We have seen this takes place as we abide in Christ and He in us. And as the Lord works in our hearts, there will be increasing purity of heart. Effectiveness in participation, the fulfillment of God's purposes. The heart must be right, and then there will be good relationship with God. God having the freedom to work in us, and we'll be able to participate effectively in the fulfillment of God's purposes. So we need to take note. Purity of heart is important. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. God's blessings, God's approval, and also seeing God, spiritual insight, our relationship with God. God will have much freedom to speak, to work in, and also to transform the life of a believer who has this kind of heart, this kind of commitment, spirit, attitude, and receptivity. And such a believer will become increasingly conformed to the image of Christ. I mention increasingly conformed to the image of Christ because it is a lifelong process. It is not that we are immediately conformed to the image of Christ and we've attained. Conform to the image of Christ, attain. No, it's a process. It's important to become increasingly conformed to the image of Christ, and purity of heart, the pure in heart, is very important. Regards to the negative dimension, the pure in heart will harbor no evil, negative, or selfish, self-centered intent. The intention of the heart. There's nothing evil there. There's nothing negative. Purity includes the positive and exclusion of the negative. Not harboring anything contrary to God's will. And the heart is not tainted by fleshly motives, intent, and purpose. We need to pay attention to purity of heart, but we also need to bear in mind it's a process. None of us is absolutely pure. But we need to look to God to help us so that there can be increasing purity in our hearts. There may be various impurities in our hearts that we may not be very conscious of. There may already be many, including some aspects that are important that we are aware of. What we are aware of, we need to deal with them. What we are not aware of yet, we need to prayerfully look to the Lord that He will have the freedom to speak to us, to indicate to us so that we can deal with them, so that there can be increasing purity in our hearts. If we want to fare well, then we must continually look to the Lord to help us nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. That is what believers are concerned about. We want to fare well in our time on earth, whether it be during this pandemic or whatever may lie ahead. We want to fare well in our walk with God. But how can we fare well? This area is critical, crucial. We must continually look to the Lord to help us nurture a heart that is increasingly pure in meaning and quality. Continually look to the Lord. Not just at one point in time or now. You see, you believe in it, you look to the Lord to help you to nurture a heart that is pure. No. We must be deeply convicted that we must continually, throughout our time on earth, look to the Lord to help us nurture, because only God can help us. On our own, we can't. You'll be the flesh, fleshly striving. But the Spirit of God wants to bring it about. God wants to bring this about. We need to look to God to help us. We must be open to God and His working in our hearts. To look to Him, to help us, to nurture a heart that's increasingly pure in meaning and quality. So increasingly pure. We must recognize that our hearts are not absolutely pure. There are various deficiencies within. And we need to look to the Lord to help us to nurture a heart that's increasingly pure in meaning and quality, and that's primarily in the moral and spiritual dimension. Such a life is feasible under all circumstances. Whatever the circumstances, we can continually look to the Lord to nurture a heart that's increasingly pure in meaning and quality. But this can take place. It is feasible under all circumstances, only for those who love the Lord and those who are walking with Him. Then it becomes feasible. If we do not love the Lord and we are not walking with Him, then it will not take place. But if we love the Lord, we are walking with Him, it is feasible. I mentioned, even if you love the Lord and you are trying to walk with God, it may not take place. It is feasible, but it may not work out well. We need to understand what God is looking for, how purity of heart comes about, and cooperate with what God seeks to bring about, to nurture in our hearts. And even if we are making some progress, we need to understand that progress in purity of heart, there are varying degrees of progress, rate of progress. And we must look to the Lord to help us to move decisively in that direction, to make good progress in purity of heart. And this is feasible, whatever the circumstances, and whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, including this pandemic and whatever may lie ahead. I say whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, because it does not mean that whatever the circumstances, we can become increasingly pure in heart. We need to be careful not to embark on things, not to do things that is not suitable for us, that God does not want us to go through, that God does not want us to be involved in. So we need to look to the Lord to guide us. And whatever the Lord sees fit for us to go through, which can include significant trials and difficulties and hardship, it is still feasible. Including the pandemic, and some may be going through terrible times in the sense of a lot of difficulties and hardship during this pandemic. But even if that were to be the case, even very, very difficult situations they go through, it is still feasible. If they love the Lord, they are walking with the Lord, and they are going through what the Lord sees fit for them to go through, then it's feasible for them to continually look to the Lord to help them to nurture a heart that's increasingly pure in meaning and quality. The Lord willing, I intend to continue in my next sharing on how to have and maintain a pure, clean heart and the importance and implications of being pure in heart. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you be pleased to help us to respond deeply to what you have revealed in the scriptures, especially to help us to respond deeply in the direction of being increasingly pure in heart, that you have the freedom to speak, to teach, and to work in and through our lives, that you help us to be deeply committed to you and what is in your heart. For we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.